What's up, fam? This is Truth Serum, a podcast of Crossover Bible Fellowship. In today's episode, we will talk about the virus that is sweeping through the entire world, infecting and killing people at alarming rates. Schools, sporting events, concerts, church services, and social gatherings have all been canceled, and it leads people to think that the world is falling apart. In this episode, we hope to shed some light in spite of the seriousness of this virus so that all will be able to know that God cares and He is in control. Yo, yo, what's up, fam? How you guys doing? My name is Joaquin Morris, and I am your host today. I'm joined with my co-host, Aaron, Brittany, and Nathan. What's up, y'all? How y'all doing?
What's up, Joaquin? How you doing, bro?
Man, I am good, man. I'm good, man. Just basically in the house, man. You know,
what do?
The Rona's out there, man.
By the way, did you all see how Joaquin tried to take the glory? He was like, yo, he tried to take the glory from us. We equal co-hosts, man. We equal.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, that's why I said co-host.
Nah, you good.
Hey, Brittany's... Brittany said, I'm not a co-host. I'm the host.
I'm a co-host. No, I'm a host.
Right. I am a host just like you. Man, y'all got me thinking about the Temptation, man. Like, y'all can't do this to me.
I'm gonna say, I am the host.
Oh, man. I'm David Ruffin. Okay.
You know, me and Aaron, we don't be up to we in different kind of, you know, slightly different generations.
Little younger.
Aaron, what's up, bro, man? Tell me, man, like, you was kind of sick earlier this week, bro. Like, how you feeling now, man?
Man, I'm doing all right. Man, I thought I had the Rona, though. You know, I was congested. Then my chest started hurting a little bit. You know,
Lord,
the last two episodes, I've been kind of messed up, to say the least. but now I'm good, though. But now I'm good. You know, thanks be to God.
Been down and out.
I'm good because I was nervous for about 15 to 20 seconds, literally. But nah,
that's very short.
Very short. Hey, it is. But it honestly, it is kind of nerve wracking. You know, because only thing I did was I went outside. I went to go get some Chick-fil-A because I was tired of cooking. And then, you know, for some reason, like I just started feeling bad. So I was definitely nervous because, you know, you go outside, you're exposed and you really don't know. So, yeah.
Man, that's what's up, man. I'm glad you're feeling better, bro. Like,
yeah, I feel you.
Dude, me too.
Your boy was concerned just for a little bit.
It's about to come
late. Pray for you, pray for me, right, Joaquin?
Hey, yeah, for real. Man, Nathan, what's up, man? How you doing, bro? What's been going on?
Doing well. Some people don't know, but I do digital marketing, and some of what I do, I work with a hospital, so I've been fairly busy because hospitals don't close, and they're at the center of a lot of the treatment for people. So, yeah, man, been busy with that, and just trying to stay connected with people, even though we're, you know, not in person, but just trying to stay connected, even though social distancing is a real thing.
Cool, man. Cool. Man, Brittany, what's up, man? How you been?
What's up? I've been good. There's obviously a lot going on with the virus. So I've been trying to make sure my family's taken care of, especially my older family members, staying connected to the people that I know and love. We're all working from home for the most part at my job. I teach English, so our classes have gone virtual. And so I'll kind of jump into that for the first time next week. Also just taking lots of, it sounds kind of simple and it's not. If you are teaching, like if I weren't teaching a group of people who are learning to read, it might be a little bit easier, but they rely on me to walk around and talk to them. We use the computer a lot. So it's going to change the way we do things for sure. And of course, just trying to stay grounded in God's truth. It's super easy to get anxious. Kind of like what Aaron was saying, being anxious can make you feel like you have any disease. Start feeling anxious. Like, I think I have a headache. I think I can't breathe. I think I have coronavirus. You know, so just trying to stay grounded.
Man, listen, you know, my wife's a nurse and she's like, you know, yeah. I'm going in there checking my temperature. Like every time I feel like every time I get kind of hot, I'm going in there checking my temperature. I'm like, okay, like what's going on? And Crystal's like, all right, I checked it the first time. It said like 97.5. I was like, okay, cool. Then I was like, no, that can't be right because I'm too hot. And I checked it again. And then it said 97.4.
I love it. That is hilarious.
So actually,
the mind is a powerful thing.
Right. So yeah, man. Okay. No, man, I'm glad you guys are doing good. Aaron, Brittany, Nathan, man, thank you guys. Man, I'm glad you guys could be here once again today. So just kind of want to, you know, kind of press on. Throughout history, plagues and viruses have affected our way of life in so many different ways. Ebola, which is a viral disease also, has been around since like 1976. And also even today, it still even has different types of outbreaks throughout the world. The flu, which we all know about, has been around since like, well, forever, and has caused millions of people to lose their lives. Rabies is also a viral disease that, you know, it was introduced in the 1920s. You know, HIV is also a viral disease that's out there. The common cold. And you guys know about, you know, different types of things that happened through history, like the Spanish flu in 1918. So now we have reached a new pandemic that, you know, is basically global and worldwide. You know, it's a new virus that's on the scene and it is running rampant, you know, with about a 1-2% death rate around the entire world. It's the new COVID-19 coronavirus. It's basically not only affecting people's health, but it's actually changing our way of life also. As of today, based on Johns Hopkins data, there was recorded about 11,572 deaths worldwide. So, yo, like, where did this virus come from? You know, why is it affecting so many people? I mean, what's the problem? Talk to me, man. Like, what's going on?
So we know that, as far as we know, it originated in Wuhan, China. Not too long ago, a couple months ago, things have been increasing really, really rapidly. And I remember when it was first coming out, everyone was going about their daily lives. And I was kind of following the news and seeing every day, every couple of days, like X amount of people have died, X amount of people have died. And I think around December, January, it was still in the hundreds. And I mean, it went from, came from a bat, came from a snake, came from, I mean, these are like credible sources that are like.
I know, right? Oh my God. Right. Like, from like everywhere. Like, can't trust nobody, man. Like, I mean, like, cause they were saying like, I mean, I even heard like it came from like, you know, like a seafood market in like specifically in Wuhan. So I'm thinking like, okay, well, did it come from fish? You know, did it come from, you know, crabs? I mean, like what's really going on?
Yeah. And I just want to point out how destructive and unhelpful it is to make coronavirus a Chinese virus. And so, yeah, please be careful, people, when you talk about coronavirus, not to isolate, yeah. And not to,
yeah,
kind of worsen things by creating xenophobia, specifically against Chinese people.
Right, right. Man, it just seems like, you know, right now, no one really seems to know, like, how it actually spread. Does anybody know on here, like, how it actually kind of spread? Does anybody have any information on that?
Well, I'm not a physician, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express.
Are those related?
No. Holiday Inn Express.
Okay. That's a commercial. I don't know if y'all remember that, but anyway.
No, yeah, I do remember that. Yes, I do. Nathan, we're telling our age. That's what we're doing. Like Brittany and like Aaron. Nah,
speak for yourself. speak for yourself. No, but as I mentioned, you know, I do some work in the healthcare field, but like I said, this is not by any means have short legal statement. This is not by any means any health advice, nor are we any health professionals. So let me just make that clear. But no, you know, they're saying that the disease was transferred via droplet, meaning that it's some type of droplet that comes from your mouth, like a cough and or sneeze.
Even breathing.
And yeah, of course, it's direct contact. If you get it, it may be on you, on your skin, on your person, and you touch your face, rub your eye. You know, something, you eat chicken wings, you're like, man, the wings are good. And you lick your fingers, whatever. And then it gets into your system and then you are a carrier of the disease. And it may be, I should say virus, not disease. You're the carrier of the virus. and it's either active, meaning that it's active and you have symptoms, or it's active and you don't show any symptoms, but you can still pass it on to someone who can get it instantly. So, yeah, that's a little bit of background of how it's passed on, so on and so forth. But they're even saying other reports, like I've read in different news sources that say, oh, well, the virus can live on different surfaces for a long time. The virus can live in the air for multiple hours.
Yeah,
so yeah, there's just different things. There's just different things being updated all the time about this, and everybody's trying to exercise caution.
No, man, that's fair, man. And one of the biggest things I'm seeing too, based on Johns Hopkins data, is that right now, in, like worldwide, as of this morning, around maybe 7:30 this morning, they have a total of 278,838 infections. And like I said before, 11,572 deaths worldwide. The USA has 19,624 infections with over 250 deaths right now, as we know of. I think a bigger problem too is that these are only the infections that are actually being recorded, because I was hearing that this could also be what asymptomatic, is that what they call it? So this can also be asymptomatic, which means people can even have the disease but not show any type of symptoms. So, so if that's the case, then people could be just walking around here spreading the virus and, you know, and it's getting worse, but nobody even knows that they even have it.
Right. Which is, you know, why they're kind of giving people directions about social distancing.
Yeah. So, man, like, you know, but the social distancing thing is basically changing our way of life. Like, for instance, like when we talk about, you know, like even right now, San Francisco, Italy, France, and China at one point, like all went on lockdown. And now even there are curfews, you know, in the U.S. that have been initiated, and I think I just saw last night, New York had a 24-hour lockdown. Like dudes can't even come outside, man. And then, you know, I'm a sports guy, so, you know, I'm tripping on the whole NBA season being canceled. Like, I don't know if you guys still saw that.
Yeah, I think we saw that. And I think that's why we see the, how is this virus affecting others? I think Nate talked about social distancing. And I think for Americans, this is honestly the first time. And I would say once the first time in history that we've ever experienced anything like this. And I think that's why you see other countries and other continents around the world taking different precautions and actually adhering to the guidelines that have been provided for them. However, we as Americans have not. For example, and as people have probably saw in the news, it's spring break for a lot of college students. So because of that, everybody's down in Florida, in Miami, and other parts of Florida at beaches having a good time. And, you know, if it was my spring break, I would love to have a good time also. However, I think because America has never seen anything like this, we really haven't had a war on our soil against another country. We've never really had like a famine or just an outbreak of anything like this. Honestly, America has truly been blessed. And because of that, I don't think we just have the experience with dealing with something like this. And because of that, I think we really don't adhere to the CDC guidelines, and we don't think anything is going to happen to us. We really think we're just going to be okay. And I think that's why this virus and this epidemic and pandemic has been affecting so many different people around the world, and especially in America.
Fair. Man, Aaron and Brittany, you guys kind of, you know, do a little bit of teaching in the school type deal also. Like, I mean, so I hear also, man, that school is out indefinitely for the spring semester in some parts of the country. Like, how is that affecting you guys?
Well, I'll speak on that for a minute. So in different states, they have stopped school. However, it hasn't stopped us too much. For example, now a lot of things are moving a lot virtual. We're having virtual meetings. We're supposed to be giving students virtual work. However, they have stopped a lot of state testing. And even though seniors this year, which I really feel bad for the seniors, because I think about my senior year going to prom, you know, being going to the state tournament, baseball, weightlifting, or whatever, and not even being able to graduate, maybe not even being able to graduate with my friends and walking across the stage. But everything's going virtual now. And I think that is a good thing. However, with that, I think the bad thing about that is that everybody doesn't have internet at home. Everybody doesn't have devices at home. And then what is, how can we hold kids accountable? So I think the education system will change. I'm grateful that I was able to, you know, kind of construct a urban education system, which is all virtual, all online, that will hold the kids accountable. But I know across the world and across the country right now, I think they're trying to figure out a way to be able to educate students, to be able to make sure they understand the concepts and concepts of whatever they're trying to communicate and educate about them. But I know right now it's very, very difficult for a lot of districts.
Yeah, first of all, I just want to say Aaron said he created an urban virtual learning environment. And I'm hoping that you can share that in the link, because I'm sure a lot of us would like access to your urban learning environment. That sounded very sophisticated and interesting. I want to share that with all urban teachers.
Hey, Aaron over there thinking like, oh man, I could share that for sure for the low price of $14.99 per month.
Oh yeah.
But no, seriously, I think that depending on what, for example, my little sister goes to school up in Kingwood, and her situation is very different than students who are in HISD, because they are able, she and her classmates were already required to have Chromebooks at home. So they each have a personal Chromebook. Their school has continued on probably with relatively fewer interruptions than in other places where students have lower income families. So my situation is a bit different because I teach adults and I teach immigrants at a nonprofit. And so the barrier for a lot of my students is that, like some of Aaron's students, they don't necessarily have internet access at home. They don't necessarily have a computer at home. Many of them do not. Not only that, they're not so used to dealing with technology. So for some of them, it's their first time having a smartphone. For those with a computer, for some of them, it's their first time ever having a computer. And so trying to figure out how to conduct an ESL class via Zoom with very low level students is very challenging. So I'll try and keep y'all posted because I pretty much will jump into it on Monday. And I teach the lowest level students of like all of my staff. And so it'll be an adventure.
You know, both of you guys, man, have said some things, man, that makes me think about the students, especially in your case, Brittany. Even in the public school system, it makes me think about all the teachers that are not used to maybe teaching and doing stuff online. So I can only imagine, I'm pretty sure there's another issue, is that there's a lot of, you know, high stress due to all of those things. And because of the chaos that's going around, it just makes things feel like everything is out of control. So, man, so we talked about the problem. Now, let's kind of define the problem. Like, what is COVID-19 coronavirus anyway? Like what is it? Like, Nathan, like, what do you got on that?
Yeah, so in terms of the virus itself, it is something that mimics, I can say that. It's something that mimics other viruses that are out there. Meaning, and just to give some like quick background, like when you talk about a virus, you may have a virus and it may not develop into something that actually affects your body, but you still have it. Most viruses need a host to live. So a host like...
Come on, Nate, with the science talk.
Whatever. Look at him. That's the science teacher getting hype. So yeah, regardless... most viruses need a host to live, right? So then they latch on to a host and they start, you know, utilizing and growing and thriving off of that host, or sometimes replicating off of that host. So they replicate their own cells and try to, in a sense, pass themselves on to another host and another host and another host. So, of course, coronavirus is a virus in and of itself, and it acts like that. But not only that, but it also has certain symptoms. I think at first people were comparing this to the flu, but I think it's a little bit more aggressive than the flu. The people I have spoken with that actually had it, they made a comment of, I felt fine, and literally in a matter of hours, I instantly had a high fever.
Yeah.
And then some people said the fever didn't go away for days. Like some people said my fever lasted 3 days, 4 days, and I felt bad and I had body aches. Other people said I had a fever for 9 hours and I was hot and then it went away, but I was still coughing. And then they put me in quarantine. And when you're in quarantine, they don't let you out. Well, at least in the cases I've heard, they don't let you out for about 14 days. I saw online one man reported that he had to be tested 3 times just to be declared, you know, cured per se or recovered. And his wife, yeah, his wife, who was around him the whole time, didn't get anything. But she didn't even have it. If she wasn't asymptomatic, she didn't even get it. So they're still trying to figure out what exactly this is. So again, it's similar to the flu, but your symptoms are different. Cough, fever, body aches, tired, difficulty breathing, because sometimes this virus replicates in your lungs and it makes it hard to breathe. But also we're seeing a higher rate of deaths in comparison to the flu. And just one bit of clarification, because some people act like this is not a big deal. There's a difference between an epidemic and a pandemic. An epidemic is, yes, there's this virus going around, but us as a population are used to it. We've been able to address it. We've developed medicine for it. We know how to fight it. We even have a protocol of what to do if you go see a health professional. And most people aren't worried about the flu because it's happened for so long and it's been studied for so long. We're aware.
And we have a vaccine.
Yeah, there you go. Even a vaccine. Pandemic is, we haven't necessarily seen this before. It's spreading very quickly. We don't know or have had time to really study this. And really what they're telling some people is, hey, you just got to wait it out. But the disappointing thing is some people wait it out and it's dire consequences. So all of that just to say, this is something to take serious. I'm not saying run around with fear all the time, but it's something serious because we even saw in the NBA that an NBA player was joking about the virus and didn't think it was that big of a deal. And then he found out he was the first one in the NBA to have it. And then he also spread it inadvertently to other people without even knowing. And he was making jokes about it. So,
yeah, that was crazy, man. I also want to say to our listeners that, you know, the coronavirus is also a family of viruses. It's not necessarily, it's not necessarily just one coronavirus. It's actually a family of it that causes illnesses that range from the common cold to other diseases like, you know, Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, which is called MERS, and Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome, which is SARS. COVID-19 is basically a new strain of the coronavirus family that has been identified in humans also. So I just wanted to kind of, you know, let our listeners know that as well. Brittany, Aaron.
Yeah, and
yeah, go ahead.
My mom had a really fun fact. So when things were kind of just heating up about coronavirus, most of us had never heard of it before, even though the word is not new, like you just said. And the family viruses isn't new. If you look on the back of your Lysol can, it says coronavirus. Because it's been around. But this is, like you said, a novel or a new coronavirus.
Right. No, so now that we've kind of, you know, we've talked about the problem, we talked about the issues, we talked about the definition of the issues. Now, what are some of the current thoughts in our culture based on this coronavirus issue that's going on in our culture? Like, what are some of the people thinking, especially over here in the States? Because I know that, you know, like we said before, schools are being canceled, social gatherings, even church services, you know, are technically just being canceled and everything is being handled online. It's definitely affecting our way of life. So like, what are some of the current thoughts or fears that people have today with this virus?
I'm gonna say this really quick. In about 2008, there was a recession and a lot of people were panicking, but that recession was caused by pretty much us giving away too many housing loans and people didn't pay back those loans. So then it caused a recession and it was a dire time. A lot of people were disappointed. A lot of people felt like, oh no, it's the end of the world. The list goes on. The reason I'm calling back to that is here we are a little over 10 years later. And I think some people have some fears around the coronavirus causing everyone to, you know, be isolated, stay at home, not go to work. I think some people are worried about some consequences to the economy You know, will I still have a job? Will I still have money? Will the economy still function? How is the economy still going to function? You know, you have the stock market, which dropped, I think it was 2,000 points in one day, and then another day it dropped 1,300 points. So then you have people who are losing money and or are scared that money will be lost, but there's some uncertainty because no one knows how long this will take place. So I think the fear of the unknown of how long this will take place. I think if we knew, hey, everybody, you got to be quarantined for a month, we'd like, okay, you know what I'm saying? Okay. But if you say you got to be quarantined for 6 months, people are like, what? So I think there's just a lot of uncertainty because we don't have a grip on an estimation on when this will end or when our economy will recover from this impact. And it's not just our economy, right? It's a global economic issue. So there's other things, but I'll let y'all speak to that. But yeah, that's one fear I hear. People wondering about their livelihood, their subsistence. How am I going to make income in a place like this?
Yeah, that's a good point. Not to mention we've had some major changes in the oil industry, and that's been causing a lot of stress and anxiety alongside coronavirus.
For real, Brittany, like the Halliburton, I think Halliburton stock was like $4.80 at one time.
And a lot of people are experiencing major anxiety about this because especially in a place like Houston, lots of residents' livelihood depend on the oil industry, oil and gas. So it's major. I think the fears that I've seen have been varied. I think people are mostly afraid of the unknown. People are afraid of the uncertainty. Will I keep my job or not? Lots of people have already been laid off. My relative had to lay off 85% of his staff, especially service workers and industry, service industry workers, restaurant industry. Those people are losing jobs very quickly. My neighbor was laid off for 15 days. So some people are being temporarily laid off without pay. So people are afraid of making rent. And fortunately, evictions and foreclosures have been postponed at least until April. But people are wondering, how am I going to make ends meet? How am I going to take care of myself? And I think maybe one of the major fears that's underlying everything, I've talked to Christians and non-Christians, they're all a little bit worried that this is the end of the world. And I had a friend, it was wonderful, asked me yesterday, Brittany, what does end of the world mean? And I said, well, when Jesus comes back. And he says, Jesus says he's going to come like a thief in the night. And I was like, you know, that's a good point. Because he did say that Jesus is going to come at a time where you don't expect it. So stay ready. Keep watch. Stay awake. Stay alert. So lots of people are afraid that this is the end, so to speak.
Yeah, the last thing, because I literally wrote down the same thing and was thinking the same thing about Brittany, the fear of the unknown. You just don't know. You don't know, like for me, for example, if you go to Chick-fil-A and you get something to eat, you know, they say my pleasure, but when they say my pleasure, they may give you the virus.
Lord have mercy.
but I mean, I think it's just the unknown about, will I get this virus? Is my 401k going to be gone at the end of this virus? I think it's a lot of different things of the unknown that people are experiencing. And I think I would say even lastly, like just the fear of death. They don't know, is by this virus coming to where I live at, where it affects me, where it could affect my family, will this be the last day for me? Will this be my last hour, my last breath? So yeah, I think that's some fears that people are experiencing right now.
Cool, man. Cool. I know some of the things too that I have been, thinking about. You know, like Brittany said, the end of the world type stuff, and man, like a lot of times people just think things are just totally out of control. I wanted to ask this question, really quick. Sometimes when things gets like this or whatnot, you know, sometimes you know, like with a viral outbreak, sometimes people, especially non-believers, tend to ask this question, you know, like, why would God allow something like this to happen? Especially when it comes to like dealing with death and stuff like that. So why do you guys think people ask the question when chaos seems to be unavoidable? Like, why do you think people ask that question of, you know, why would God allow evil in this world? Or, you know, why would people ask that? Anybody got anything for that?
Yeah, I do. It's funny you mentioned that. I literally had a conversation this morning about that. I think the one word I'll say to think about is perspective. Is perspective. In one of our previous episodes, we talked about cultural autonomy. We also, you know, talked about riding shotgun. And, you know, we were talking about how people don't necessarily take action until it affects their life. So I think it's interesting that there are certain viruses and or illnesses that take place in other countries. And because it doesn't necessarily affect you, you don't think anything of it. Then when the virus gets into your area, or your culture, or your country, now all of a sudden it's, what is thine evil plague which has come upon the
Man, I heard plagues by people who I've never heard talk about anything in the Bible.
Yeah, so, and the reason I'm bringing this up is like, so what are you implying? That a disease that has been going on, or a plague or a sickness that has happened in another country, is that evil? Or like, is only evil because it inconvenienced you? So that's the question, you know, I would pose. But not only that, the main thing I wanted to say is just, I think it's important for any conversation that people have where they're talking about like, is this evil, is to really look into and define what evil is. So is it evil, as I mentioned, because people are dying, right? I don't want anything to take anyone's life. But again, we have other health issues that have affected people to death, but, you know, people haven't donated any money towards it. Right. It's just kind of like, you don't really worry about it. So I'm just saying right now is the time to become aware of what is going on and help out in any way you can, even if that is social distancing. But and anyway, just to get to your core question, Joaquin, again, I just want to say, I think for any conversation, it's first important to define what evil is, because people will make up their own definition of evil. So I think in any conversation, define what evil is. Even if you want to bring it up now and define it in this conversation, that's cool.
Yeah, and I think Joaquin asked a question. He says, because I like what you said, Nate, but he asked the question, why would God allow evil in the world? And while thinking about that question, I thought of, first, people do want an answer. They do want an answer, and I don't think that's a bad thing. And then secondly, I thought people now have figured out that things are not in their control. And so I thought about a fear people may have that they're not in control of what could happen to them, their family, or anything else. And because of that, and because they probably heard or may have heard that God is powerful and God is loving, how could God allow this evil now into the world? And so I guess thirdly, I would say, I think people are looking for, well, I would say lastly, individuals ask this because they truly do not know who God is and their very nature of God and his character. And so I think people are asking, and I think this is a good, man, conversation that you can really, man, have a gospel conversation with somebody, because with this, they're asking, why would God allow evil in this world? But I mean, I don't want to give the answer, but without evil or without something, a crisis happening, there's not a savior. Like, because evil came into the world, now we have redemption. So yeah, I think when people ask that question, I'm not too thrown off by it, but I am wanting to know, why are they asking that question? And hopefully being able to share about the character and the nature of God. And hopefully that would draw them to Christ.
Yeah, and I think that people, when things start to get difficult, to the point where, especially as Americans, in other parts of the world, people are used to feeling and expecting to be out of control. Things are happening that are out of their control every single day. And so outside of the Western world, where we determine what our days look like, in other parts of the world, they don't have that mindset. For example, when I lived in Southeast Asia, it was very common to have what to us looks and feel like a fatalistic mindset, where what's going to happen is going to happen. But we're like, oh no, I am the author of my destiny. Like that's kind of our mantra here in America. And so when things start to feel uncomfortable because we realize that we aren't so much the authors of our destiny, we start to look up and wonder, okay, God, you were setting up my life in such a way where I could do whatever I want. And now I'm confused. What has changed? And of course, this is the way people are thinking, but it's not actually true. But I know that people start to be afraid of punishment. So I've seen people kind of reckon with, this is the end of the world. This is a plague. And when people say plague, our minds automatically, people who have any kind of biblical knowledge, our minds go back to the children of Israel being held captive in Egypt and God sending the 10 plagues as a punishment and as a judgment for the Pharaoh's disobedience. And so people start to wonder, is God judging us? Now, what's interesting about that is these people haven't necessarily had a thought about God before now. And that's not necessary. I mean, what I'm saying is, it's now is always a good time to start thinking about God. I don't care when that now is. But people are curious, is God punishing me? Is this judgment? And I think some people are wondering, what should my response be? Is God mad? And people know, I think, that like, even if they've never read it before, they know I've sinned against God. I've fallen short of God's glory, even if I didn't put it into those words. And so if God were to punish me, I wouldn't be so surprised.
Yeah. No, that's really good, Brittany. Thank you so much for that. Man, so with that being said, I'm going to move forward, okay? Thank you guys for giving us the, you know, like, what are some of the things that people are thinking today? I think that has definitely let us know some of the things that are going on in our culture, especially in the westernized culture of how things are going. Now, I want to kind of switch gears a bit. And now that we know, you know, what the problem is, now that we have defined the problem and talked about what's going on and the thoughts of our culture today, what are some biblical and historical truths that we can shed to be able to help mediate the thoughts of our culture? So, and I can start with that. So basically, there are tons of places in the Bible that shows that God is always in control. And I think that's one of the biggest things that that is very important that we want to make sure that we get across. Because a lot of times during these, you know, during these types of, you know, like during this pandemic and during other types of things in the world with things that seem out of our control, it just seems that God is kind of distant. And so basically, but you know, I just want to be able to encourage people to let people know that God isn't distant. All throughout, you know, the Bible, you know, any time that God bring or God allows adversity or evil or however you want to call it, it's always a part of God's plan to make his name great. And it's always a part of God's plan to make himself known. And so here's what I mean. So like, for instance, in the book of Acts, through the life of the disciples and the apostle Paul, when the church was started, God allowed persecution and imprisonment. But through all of that, the gospel of Jesus Christ went forth. So people were actually scattered out abroad, and the gospel was shared throughout all those different places. Even for Paul, who was shipwrecked and bitten by a snake, allowed Paul to make it to Rome. Even through the death of Jesus, when we talk about, you know, Jesus dying, you know, although, you know, he was sold, you know, basically it was imminent for Jesus's death on the cross, he rose again and therefore bringing salvation to all mankind so that believers can be saved from eternal separation from him. Even when we think about the book of Daniel, when Israel was in captivity by Babylon, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through the fire because they refused to bow down to a king. But they were saved by the fourth person that they saw in the fire. Even Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, but God saved them from the grip of the lion's mouth. even when we talk about Moses and Exodus, you know, when Moses was born, there was a mandate to kill all the firstborn babies. So his mother hid him and put him in a whisker basket and sent him down the riverbank of the Nile. But through God's grace and mercy, he allowed Pharaoh's daughter to see the baby and take the baby in, have Moses' mother nurse and raise him in Pharaoh's house, and eventually became the one to lead Israel out of bondage through the Red Sea. Even Joseph, you know, when he was sold into slavery to Egypt and he worked on the Potiphar, wrongly accused and thrown in jail, ended up being the second in command only to Pharaoh while saving the entire nation of Israel from famine. Even when you think about Adam and Eve, like even though they lived in the garden free from sin, and even though death passed to all men because of Adam's sin, God still had a plan to save the world through his son Jesus. Because Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So God's sovereign plans always supersedes our circumstances. So I think that is one of the biggest things, that even though all this stuff is going on, you see that the plan of God, throughout his sovereignty, he always makes sure that his plan goes forth, you know, because that's just who our God is, you know. And even historically, when we think about during the times of transatlantic slavery, how Black people prayed to God, you know, and basically God released them from the shackles that they had been bound to. But God heard their prayer, you know, and God softened the hearts of mere men and basically, you know, released Blacks from slavery. Even during the times of Jim Crow and civil rights, you know, God was still listening to people during those times and praying. Sure, there are still some systemic situations that are going on today, but God continuously hears our prayers and he answers. Psalms 116, verse 2 says that God inclines his ear to us as we pray, and he listens. So what about you guys? What do you guys think? What are some other biblical and historical truths that may help people understand that God is definitely in control?
Yeah, the biggest thing, I mean, you touched on quite a bit, Joaquin. But the biggest thing I'll say is this, that people have to remember. A lot of people talk about in relation to getting well from a virus, they talk about how old they are, how young they are, or I'm generally healthy, I'm a vegan, I ain't gotta worry about that. The list goes on. The reason I'm laying that out is this: medicine is very theoretical, meaning that they run tests with certain things, and then they make conclusions. We ran these tests, we've seen that your cells, or most cells, act like this. But there's no guarantee any medicine will work. I am a firm believer that God allows your body to either react a certain way to a medicine or not. So what I'm really getting at is doctors and or physicians or pharmacists even, can't heal anything. God is the one who really has to do it. Or even, dare I say, allow it. That being said, there have been many things throughout history, as Joaquin laid out, that have been adverse to a people group or people. The one factor that is different is this. If you know who God is, and when I say know who God is, I don't mean aware of who God is. I mean, you know God and God knows you. But if you know who God is and or believe and place faith in him and can be called a child of God, similar to what it says in John 1, child of God, meaning that you believe in the gospel, you believe in the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. So now you have been adopted into the family of God based upon the shed blood at the cross. Therefore, you are his child. So if you are a child of God, God takes care of his children. The examples that Joaquin showed, a lot of that is God taking care of his children. Like Daniel in the lion's den was preserved because he knew who God was. And he followed God and obeyed God. Therefore, he was taken care of regardless of a situation that looked like it was crazy. People who get sicknesses, that seemed to be incurable or sicknesses that were a death sentence, like you look in the New Testament and you see with leprosy. There's no medicine for it. What are they going to do? You have it and that's the end of your life, supposedly. But, and by the way, leprosy still exists today. People forget. But again, the thing when they encountered Jesus in the New Testament, a lot of times it was, you know who God is? You believe in him? I take care of my children. They got healed. So this is not a call to say use fear to spur belief. But as Aaron brought up, this is a time to say God is the only one that can truly heal us of any disease. And it's been laid out by Joaquin. And I gave a few short examples. But I just wanted to make that statement if I could.
Man, just wanted to let you guys know that there are different types of evil in this world. I know Nathan was talking about actually even defining what that evil, what evil was. So there's basically moral evil and there's basically natural evil. So moral evil is basically, you know, like the things that we do based on the decisions that God is, that God has allowed us to have to make that we do against each other. So like whatever is morally wrong is like an action of evil that we would do on other people. Natural evil are things that are basically out of our control, such as, you know, storms, earthquakes, you know, natural disasters, and disease. Like those are certain things that are out of our control. And so, man, and the thing is that God uses those things because he, God, is infinite in wisdom. He's omniscient. So he's infinite in wisdom and knows all things. He knows the outcome, you know, of what's going to happen based on this particular evil. God has always been able to be in the position to use evil for his good, for our good and for his glory. So let me give you an example. Here's an example of this evil. So a circumstance of this, kind of going back to Joseph and his brothers. Joseph was sold into slavery. Now, that was a bad circumstance. Joseph was also under Potiphar and wrongly accused by Potiphar's wife and basically thrown in jail. And so with all that being said, all those situations and those circumstances are bad. But yet God used that bad circumstance or whatnot and allowed it to happen so that Israel, an entire nation, will be saved from famine. And it's the same Israel that went through Egypt to be saved, to be rescued by God through the hands of Moses or whatnot. And it's the same Israel where we see Jesus even come into play through that line. So through Israel. So God is always in the business of taking care of the people and basically making sure that his name is made great and that all things are working out for our good. So God, being infinite in wisdom, will be able to understand that. I want to kind of throw this out there too, because I want to read something really quick from this book I took. This is a class I took on apologetics. It's called Introducing Apologetics by James E. Taylor. And I just wanted to read this really quick, and I quote, they are these considered by themselves apart from their consequences are bad things. So basically, you know, he's talking about, you know, an illustration of this would be like, let's say an athlete sacrifice of substantial amount of energy or personal time for the sake of winning an important competition. You know, or, you know, somebody may have a gangrene limb that would have resulted in a patient's death if it had not been amputated. But, you know, if we were to, and I end quote, amputated limb based on gangrene or putting a body through a series of physical fitness doesn't seem like they're not intrinsically good. They're really intrinsically bad things to be able to make a good thing happen. So basically, you know, just because a bad thing happens doesn't necessarily mean just because something intrinsically evil happens doesn't necessarily mean that it's actually evil in the long run. And so I just wanted to kind of encourage some people along the side with that, is that because we are not God. God, being infinite in wisdom, can see the end before we can ever see it, because things that are already set in time, God already has a bird's eye view from it, from eternity. So yeah, man. So that's really at the end. That's pretty much all we have. Does anybody else have anything else?
So one thing that I've been reflecting on is when God promises the children of Israel to give them this land flowing with milk and honey. And as they've seen him perform all these miracles, he sent all these plagues on the king of Egypt. And then he marched them out of there. Not only marched them out of there with other people's jewelry and stuff. And then he parts a whole sea, gets them across. And finally, after traveling for a really long time, they reach the place where God has promised to give them. So God tells Moses, hey, send 12 people to go check it out, see what it looks like. I don't know what God's intention was for that, but all 12 people went and observed the same things. They observed what the land was like, what the trees were like, what all the produce was like, how the people lived and what they looked like. When they came back to the people, though, 10 of them had pretty much observed what they had seen through the lenses of human ability. And they said, yeah, it's true. The fruit and the land and all of that stuff looks nice, but these people are way too big for us, way too strong for us, and we can't take the land. And what they forgot was, it wasn't really about them taking the land so much as it was about God giving it to them. So then the other two, Caleb and Joshua, they were the ones who, they saw the same things as those other guys, but the way that they responded was through the lens of what God could do and through the lens of who God was. And ultimately, they told the people, if the Lord is pleased with us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. But don't rebel against the Lord and don't fear the people in the land. Their protection has been removed from them and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And so at the end of the day, the people all had a choice to believe God, not based on merely what they saw, but based on who they knew God to be, or to not believe God and to trust in what they saw. And as Christians, as believers, we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. And so it never really matters how a situation appears. We always have the choice to look at a situation through the lens of who our God is. We know that he is Lord and King over the whole earth. The earth is his and everything in it. We know that he's good. We know that he's faithful. We know that he's with us. He's left us so many precious and very great promises. And so now is the time for us to be like Joshua and to be like Caleb and to say, oh yes, I can see that it appears to be difficult and dark, but my God has a track record of goodness, a track record of deliverance for his people, a track record of faithfulness in my life, in my family's life, in my friends' lives, in his personal history as God over the earth, through his own people, through Christians over time. My God is faithful. I won't be afraid. And the thing is, naturally, our hearts are oriented towards being afraid and freaking out. But we're the ones to say, hey, I'm going to choose my thoughts right now, and I'm going to choose to trust God. I'm going to tell my heart. I'm going to tell my soul, hey, Brittany, remember what God did for you last year? The year before? Okay, it's the same God, and it's time to trust him. When things are easy, it's easy to trust. Okay, now things are difficult. Let's keep trusting.
No, that's good, Brittany. Thank you so much for that. So, man, to conclude, just want to let you guys know, to all our listeners, just know that God is in control regardless of any calamity in the world. It is all a part of his divine purpose. We don't fear death because to die is actually to gain, right? So this is a hard truth to swallow, but because no one that is living has ever died before. we believe and have faith in the one. but we believe and have faith in the one who did die but lives again. I just kind of want to leave you with something also. I said this on a live that I went on yesterday, and something that my manager said that I thought was really, really good. And one of the things that he says that I personally believe that nothing truly new can come without disruption to that which currently is. And I just want to say that although, you know, we have these, you know, disruptions in our life, like right now we're, you know, quarantined and we're doing all these different things because of this particular coronavirus that's out. You know, because this might be a disruption, God may be setting up some things or whatnot for a divine interruption so that we may be able to see what God is going to do once this coronavirus issue passes over. I was talking to one of my good friends, and one thing that we talked about was like, man, hey, like they're trying to find a vaccine that will basically eliminate all of the coronaviruses, whether it's MERS or whether it's SARS. They want to be able to, you know, eliminate any type of strain. What happens if, because of this coronavirus issue comes out, and, you know, what happens if they develop a strain that gets rid of all the strains of influenza, of every single strain of flu? And what happens if that comes from it? I think I saw an article where, you know, pollution is totally down inside of, you know, in China, because all the factories are closed due to the coronavirus. So, I mean, so with all this stuff being, you know, done, like there is something that is definitely happening on the back end. As I was talking with one of my friends yesterday, man, anytime that there's adversity, there's always something good on the other side of it. So I just want you guys to be encouraged and make sure that you continue to stay prayerful and just know that God hears our prayers and that he cares and that he is in control. So just wanted to kind of give you guys some resources from my side. So all the information that we talked about or whatever today, it basically comes from, you know, if you want to be able to, you know, learn more or about this coronavirus, all that information comes from these places. Please go to cdc.gov, hopkinsmedicine.com, and who.int or who.int to get more information on the COVID-19 coronavirus. All the information is shared. It comes from these locations. So just to let you know. Also, I believe coronavirus.gov is also, includes government updates and mandates. So yeah, and as far as book recommendations, I would definitely, especially when it comes to dealing with suffering or dealing with evil, I would definitely say, Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament by Paul Copan. It's a really good book. Paul Copan goes into a very, very deep discussion about you know, the Old Testament and, you know, and all the different type of atrocities that went down. And he basically, you know, gives you a better view of how to look at, you know, God in the Old Testament. Another thing is Confronting Christianity, 12 Hard Questions from the World's Largest Religion by Rebecca McLaughlin. It's a really good book. Basically talks, you know, about different types of things, like why does God allow suffering, and, you know, is Christianity moral, and all those different types of things. Another one is, Introduction to Apologetics, where you heard me quote some things today, Cultivating Christian Commitment by James E. Taylor. You'll be able to talk. He'll go into more depth about, you know, why God, you know, allows some of these things. And it kind of clears up some things about his character and who he is. So that's what I have. Anybody else have any other resources?
I want to recommend the book Surprised by Suffering by R.C. Sproul. This book is delightfully accessible, and it is about basically walking through suffering, and it's beautiful. I read it when I was having a difficult time, and it was so helpful and grounding. So check it out.
I would say, I may go old school with this, but I would say, even with all those resources, just encourage you to just to get in the Word of God and to search out the scriptures, that when you do feel weary, when you do feel nervous or fearful, that you can go back to his Word and you remind yourself of what God has to say. So my resource is definitely the Bible, which I know everybody would agree with, but especially with having time off and being able to sit down and open God's Word and, you know, reaffirm yourself even when you feel weary and sometimes.
That's good. And for prayer, Nathan, can you tell them about the prayer call?
Yeah, for sure. So just to let you all know, we being the Truth Serum Podcast co-host, but also The church we're a part of, Crossover Bible Fellowship, all the young adults will be meeting for a prayer call. That prayer call will be taking place on Saturdays. So at the time of this recording, it actually is a Saturday. So one and the same. But that prayer call, there is a phone number. We'll have it in the show notes as well. But just to state what it is 319-527-3513. And then you enter an access code of 712-146, and then you hit pound. So there's a prayer call, because that doesn't mean we should sit here in our homes and do nothing. Yes, social distancing is important. Yes, this is a serious issue. Yes, we want to err on the side of caution. However, we can take action, and we're taking action by praying. Earlier, I made a comment that, in a sense, all the medicine and physicians in the world, they still don't know why certain things happen, why certain people's body react positively to certain things. They just try and hope for the best. We're just saying that we want to pray to God, because our hope is in God, because God is in control over everything. And even as Joaquin alluded to, is not surprised or caught off guard by anything. So we want to take action by praying. So if you're listening, we invite you to pray with us. You're welcome. Like I said, it'll be in the notes. But also, at any other time, if you have anything you would like us to pray for, you, your family, or resources you may need, or you have any fears that you have, feel free to reach out to us, truth@crossoverbf.com. That's our email address, truth@crossoverbf.com. Email us, and we'll make sure to pray to God and lift up your prayer requests on your behalf.
Amen. So that would conclude this podcast episode. And we thank you guys for joining us. So anybody cool? Everybody cool?
Yep. Stay well in these streets.
Make sure you go listen. Hashtag speak the truth. Yo, put the hashtag speak the truth on there.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, cool, man. Hey, drop that beat.